You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
All right. Well, here's the deal. The main point of today's sermon is very clear. And I'm going to give you the main point right away. Are you ready? Here's the main point of today's sermon. Jesus doesn't want anyone in this room to worry. That's the main point of our message today. Jesus doesn't want you to worry. Jesus doesn't want you to have an anxious and burdened heart. Jesus doesn't want you to be biting your nails, sleepless nights, can't go to bed, worrying, anxious about many things. That's the main point of the sermon. Maybe you knew that, or maybe you weren't sure, but today Jesus wants to make this absolutely clear from our text, because what we're going to see is that one of the marks of true citizens of the kingdom of God is confidence, it's trust, it's assurance in the fact that our King has everything under control and that he loves us. But if you're like me, you're thinking to yourself, but I still struggle with worry. If you're like me, you think to yourself right now, yeah, I do believe that he is trustworthy and that my confidence can be placed in him. But Jason, I do still struggle with worry. In fact, some of you will say worry and anxiety totally overwhelms me sometimes. Well, Jesus understands that. And that's why today Jesus has some tools for us to employ in our lives so that when we struggle with worry, we will know how to combat worry. And that's the title of this morning's message, Combating Worry. Some of us in this room need to learn from the words of Jesus today how to combat, how to fight, how to resist when worry comes our way. Jesus gives us some tools. So go with me right away to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 25 to 34. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's word into your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, you can take that Bible home. It'll be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it. And the word of God will transform your life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, continuing in the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture that we have before us today. And I suggest to you that in this passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives us the tools we need and the perspective we need to combat worry in our life. So, lest we go through the motions in church today, remember, we're not here to just go through the motions. I need you to just stop for a second and think deeply about your life. What are you worried about? What are you anxious about? What anxiety and worry is causing you to be so overwhelmed today? And understand this, I pray by the end of this sermon, you will have heard from Jesus Christ in his words, you don't need to worry about that. So this is where we're going to start. Combating worry requires a few things from our text. Number one, we're going to write this down. Combating worry requires, firstly, the right master. The right master. Verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, stop right there. We need to do a little bit of Bible study here. Notice that verse 25 begins with the word therefore. Now, we can't ignore the word therefore, because whenever you're reading your Bible and you see the word therefore show up, you have to ask yourself the question, what is it there for? Other translations say, on account of this, I say to you, on account of what? The word therefore tells us that we need to look backwards, because the word therefore tells us what's about to be said is going to conclude something that was previously being discussed. So on the screen for you, we have to look back at what was previously discussed. In Matthew 6, 19 to 24, notice it on the screen, Jesus just finished saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Remember, we saw this last week, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Look at verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And so Jesus has said that the act of laying up treasures on earth, it indicates a heart that's focused on the temporal and the physical. And the heart that's focused on the temporal and the physical indicates what? It indicates that we are serving the wrong master. That's why Jesus just finished saying in verse 24, you can't serve two masters. Your heart can only be in one place at one time. Either we worship and serve the only true master, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, or we worship and serve and focus on other lesser, much lesser masters. So here in verse 25, Jesus goes on to make the connection between serving the wrong master and a life of worry and anxiety. Don't miss this, because there is a connection. Some of you maybe last week are saying, what's the big deal if I put my trust in other things? What's the big deal if I focus on other things? Well, here's the big deal that Jesus is showing us. There is a connection between the master you serve, what you live for, the treasure of your heart, and a life of worry and anxiety. What exactly is the connection? Here it is. To treasure and trust in any earthly treasure is to take your eyes off of Jesus, to take your focus off of Jesus, and to open your life up to increasing anxiety. Conversely, to treasure and trust in Jesus Christ as the only true master of my life is to keep my eyes focused on Jesus, to keep my life focused on Jesus, and then to live a life of peace and tranquility. Already the Spirit of God is poking at some hearts because you're saying, I don't know why I'm so worried. I don't know why I'm so anxious. I don't know why I can't get over these things in my life. It comes back to your master. Where are your eyes focused? Because if I'm focused on earthly treasures, I open my life up to great anxiety. Why, you ask? Why? Why is that so? Well, the answer is because there's no earthly treasure that can promise perfect provision ever. So if you want to put your eyes on something that you think will provide for you, let's just say money, you want to put your eyes on money, you worship money, you don't think you worship money, you wouldn't consider yourself as one who worships money, but you fix your gaze on money and making money. If you do that, the second the bank account gets a little low, guess what happens in your life? Anxiety. There's no earthly treasure that can guarantee perfect protection. Let's just say we treasure our spouse. We put all our hope and our trust in our spouse because we believe our spouse is going to provide protection for us. Guess what? When your spouse is not able to protect you perfectly because no one can, guess what happens to your heart? Anxiety strikes. There's no earthly treasure that can sustain perfect peace. You put your trust in a nice sunny day when I have a day off work and I sit down on my patio and I have a cup of coffee and I look out at the lush grass and that's beautiful peace. I put my hope in those days. I put my trust in those days. But when the day comes and it's raining and it's cloudy and your whole day off is spent inside, guess what happens to your heart? You say, well, that's not such a big deal. Well, it is for some. You spend your whole day off anxious and burdened because you can't guarantee that these earthly treasures will provide, will protect, will give peace. We must trust in Jesus Christ for these things. So if our eyes are fixed on earthly treasures, the moment those treasures become fragile, or the moment we perceive that we may lose those treasures, is the very moment that anxiety strikes. That's why one of the keys to combating worry in our lives has everything to do with the right master. On the screen for you, Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way. He said, what the Lord is warning us against, therefore, is the danger of thus being distracted from the main objective in life by care, by this anxiety about earthly, worldly things, by looking so much at them that we do not look at God. And that's the danger. That's the anxiety-producing vice. Eyes off of God, eyes onto some earthly treasure. Eyes off of God, eyes onto ourselves. That's the anxiety-producing vice that so many people in the church haven't learned to identify. Now, how do we combat worry in our lives? Well, it has everything to do with who our master is. In 2011, the Boston Globe reported that suicide rates in America were tied and linked, listen, to the state of the economy. I found this interesting. A report published in the American Journal of Public Health found that suicide rates increased in times of economic crisis, like the Great Depression of the 1930s, like the oil crisis of the 70s, like the recession of the 80s. A weekly mortality report in the U.S. said that the annual suicide rate jumped 28.4% from 1999 to 2010. The report went on to say, historically, suicide rates tend to correlate with business cycles, with higher rates observed during times of economic hardship. The New York Times reported that the economic downturn that has shaken Europe for the last several years has also swept away the foundations of once sturdy lives, leading to an alarming spike in suicide rates, especially in the most fragile nations like Greece, Ireland, and Italy. Small business owners and entrepreneurs are increasingly taking their own lives in a phenomenon some European newspapers have started calling suicide by economic crisis. I found this very, very sad, and yet very illuminating. What these reports show us is that human beings all over the world are so immensely worried and anxious about this question. Will I be able to foundationally, will I be able to feed my family? Will I be able to clothe my family? So worried about financial stability that when there is financial instability, they deem their lives as not worth living. Just amazing. When they think to themselves, will I be able to clothe myself? Will I be able to feed myself? If they can't, the worry is so intense. The anxiety is so intense. They enter a realm of such despair so as to kill themselves. This is mind-blowing. You ask yourself the question, why? How could someone get to such a desperate place of despair? Well, the answer is because we're serving the wrong master. We're trusting in the wrong master. We're hoping in the wrong master. We don't realize there's a God who will take care of me even when it seems like there's nowhere to go. There's no place to turn. There's a God who I can trust who says, I'm with you. But there's so many around the world that don't worship this God. They trust in their circumstances. Their master has become their circumstances or financial stability or economic stability such that when the master fails them, they don't want to live anymore. Just mind-blowing. Look at verses 24 to 25 now. Anticipating the crowd's objections, anticipating the concern of the first century Jew who would think to themselves, if I can't lay up a treasure for myself on earth, how am I going to care for myself and my family? Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. He's saying, don't focus so much on these things in your life. Don't make temporal and physical things the master and the idol of your life. He goes on, don't worry, don't be anxious about what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Listen, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? In other words, he says, you were made for much more. Life is not just about these things, but you have made these temporal things, these earthly things, these earthly treasures, you have made them your master. But there is much more to life than just what you will eat and what you will wear. You discover the fullness of life when you reorient your heart towards the true master. But the more you idolize making more money, the more you idolize finding that spouse, the more you idolize buying that house, the more you idolize safety, comfort, power, or approval, the more you will descend towards the downward spiral of worry and anxiety. Because when those things that you have trusted in fail you or become fragile or are somehow out of your grasp, what happens is you become worried. And that worry manifests itself in so many different ways. Loved ones, can you see the connection? Can you see the connection that Jesus is making? The first step in combating worry and anxiety in your life is to examine your heart again and to ask yourself the question, who is my master really? Because if your master is something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no doubt that your heart will be marked by chronic anxiety and worry filled with burdens. Combating worry requires, first and foremost, the right master. Secondly, write this down. Combating worry requires this now, the right perspective. The right perspective. Jesus is going to give us an awesome perspective. Notice verse 26 to 32. Jesus goes on and says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Something really profound happening here. Listen closely. Jesus Christ, the most prolific and masterful preacher who would ever step foot on the face of the earth, begins to illustrate and apply a very profound truth in order, why? In order to challenge the perspective of his listeners. Jesus is illustrating and applying a profound truth in order to challenge your perspective. Your perspective, my perspective, has to change if we're going to combat worry. And his aim is to help the crowds to see the heart and the mindset that leads to worry-free living. That's what he's trying to do. Just trying to say, look, I want to show you what your heart and mind need to be thinking about, how you need to shape your perspective so that you can live a worry-free life. So notice it. Jesus illustrates two basic worries that are common to all of us. Two times he gives an example of his provision. Two times he gives the truth to combat the worry. And two times he appeals to wisdom. Okay? I want to show it to you. It's on the screen. Concerning anxious thought, number one, will I be fed? At the most basic level, Jesus is illustrating this thought. Will I be fed? This anxious thought. Am I going to be fed? Am I going to be taken care of? This is what Jesus wants us to think about. He gives us an example. The example is that our Father feeds the birds. It's in verse 26. Notice it. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus says that God is actively caring for every single bird of the air. They don't work hard, they don't stress, they don't toil, and they're cared for. Think about this. Jesus gives us the example, and now he moves to the truth that will help us to combat worry. Here's the truth. Listen. You are much more valuable than the birds. That's the truth. You are much more valuable than the birds. See what he's doing? He's taking our perspective off of our circumstances, lifting them higher. He gives the example. He gives the truth. Now listen, he appeals to wisdom. Like he's doing all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he doesn't want us to be foolish. He appeals to wisdom. And here's the wisdom. You can't add to your life by worrying anyways. Don't be foolish, he says. See the perspective that's being shaped in the hearts and minds of God's people, I pray, even in our hearts and minds today. Notice it. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The answer is no one. No one can add a single hour to his span of life by worrying. Therefore, why would we worry? Jesus is appealing to wisdom. Be wise. Elevate your perspective. Understand what's really going on. He gives the example. He gives the truth that we need to hang on to combat the worry. And then he appeals to wisdom. Are we going to be wise in this life? or are we going to be foolish? So Jesus says the way you will combat worry is by gaining an elevated perspective. Let's do this together. Does God feed the birds? The answer is yes. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Think about this for a moment. Yes, yes. Is worrying helping or adding to your life in any way? No. Then why should I worry? The answer and conclusion based on truth is this: I shouldn't worry. The answer is this: I have nothing to worry about. Nothing. You say, Jason, you don't understand. Oh, I do understand. You're focused on the wrong thing. I'm focused on the wrong thing so often. And Jesus is elevating our perspective. Anxious thought number one, will I be fed? Anxious thought number two, let's look at it. He gives the example. Anxious thought number two, will I be clothed? He gives us the example. Our Father grows and clothes the lilies of the field. Notice it. Now, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He gives the example. Now he moves to the truth. Notice it. You are much more valuable than lilies and grass. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh you of little faith? I hope your perspective is being elevated. I hope you're letting the truth land on your heart to shape your perspective. He gives the example. He gives the truth. Now he gives the wisdom again. Here's the wisdom. When we worry, we are acting like unbelievers. Notice it. Therefore, he says in verse 31, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Here it is, here it is. For the Gentiles seek after these things. Unbelievers seek after these things. The unconverted seek after these things. Those who do not belong to the kingdom of God seek after these things. Those who do not have their trust in Almighty God seek after these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So again, Jesus says the way you combat worry is by gaining an elevated perspective. Let's do this together. Does God clothe the lilies and the grass? The answer is yes. They're beautiful. If he clothes the lilies and the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not then take care of us? The answer is of course he will. Of course he will. When we worry, are we demonstrating trust in our gracious King? The answer is no. So, conclusion, should I worry? The answer is no. We have nothing to worry about. It's the Gentiles, it's the unbelievers, it's those who are darkened in their thinking who make it their life's aim to pursue temporal earthly things and treasures and to live for food and clothing only. Jesus says, you're made for more. You have a better master. And oh, by the way, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. By the way, Jesus says, don't think that I'm asking you not to accumulate earthly treasures, to lift your eyes off these things, and to go on and fend for yourself. By the way, Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Notice verse 30 again. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Listen, O you of little faith. Notice the slight rebuke here. O you of little faith. Notice the slight rebuke. Notice also that all of this comes down to faith. He says, are you of little faith? Don't you believe? Don't you trust? You of little faith. It all comes down to trust. So I'm reminded of what C.H. Spurgeon said on the screen for you. Look at it. The very essence, he says, of anxious care is the imagining that we are wiser than God and the thrusting of ourselves into his place to do for him that which we dream he either cannot or will not do. At the core, says Spurgeon, at the core, says Jesus, of anxiety and worry is the absurd belief that God is not a trustworthy master. And so how do we combat worry in our life? We need an elevated perspective, and we need to see with the right perspective. If you're here today and you're worried about something in particular and it seems huge to you, I want you to ask yourself the logical and simple question. Are the birds eating today? If you're worried about how things are going to go, how things are going to unfold, I want you to ask yourself the logical question. Do the lilies of the grass grow and do the flowers bloom? Of course, the answer to that is yes. Position your heart in the posture of submission to this reality. Every single person in this room is way more valuable than birds and lilies and grass. Do you trust him? Have you put your faith in him? Right now is a time to lift up our eyes off of the masters you have set your gaze upon. They will only perpetuate worry because they are amazingly insufficient. Set your gaze with a new perspective on Jesus Christ. And I'm praying your heart is filled with faith right now, because whatever that thing is you're facing that seems so insurmountable, God says, don't worry about it. Because in the same way he cares for the birds and the lilies, how much more will he care for you? Combating worry requires the right master. It requires the right perspective. And finally, write this down. Combating worry requires the right priority. The right priority. Notice verses 33 to 34. Jesus goes on now to say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Verse 33, you need to know, is a very significant verse in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to see it in light of the whole sermon. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is so significant. Remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ is inaugurating and introducing what? His kingdom. Remember that all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is contrasting and comparing two forms of righteousness, true righteousness and self-righteousness. All throughout, we've been seeing this. He is holding up what true righteousness looks like, and he's holding it up against the self-righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's been showing us the radical difference between the righteousness, the true righteousness of the kingdom, and the self-righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. True righteousness is about inward purity and transformation. False righteousness is about outward external religiosity. He's been showing us that all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, he's saying this. See to it that your life is marked by all of the greatest priorities of the kingdom. And when you do that, I'll take care of all the lesser necessities that I know you need. That's what he's saying. See to it that your life is set upon and marked by all the greater priorities of the kingdom. And Jesus says, then, and I will see to it that the lesser necessities of your life are taken care of. Food, clothing, money, marriage, housing, transportation, vehicles, whatever it is for you that you're so worried about. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. When you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, blessed are the poor in spirit, he taught us. When you pursue inward purity and holiness from a true heart, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you give and pray and fast before an audience of one simply for his pleasure, do not be like the hypocrites, he says. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you set your affections on Jesus Christ and lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, no one can serve two masters, he taught us. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart, he said, don't be anxious about your life. All the other stuff like food, clothing, money, marriage, work, schooling, it will all be added to you. Jesus says, I will give it to you. Take care of what's on my heart, and I'll take care of what's on your heart. Set your gaze and your affections on the priorities of the kingdom. Let your life be marked by these things. No matter what's happening all around you, I will see that and I will honor you and I will add these necessities to your life. Life is much more than just the temporal things of this life. We belong to a great and eternal kingdom. And Jesus says, when you seek that kingdom, when you live by the marks and priorities of that kingdom, I'm going to take care of the rest. So let's just align our hearts right now for a moment. Some of us, our lives are marked by, I got to do for myself, I got to make a name for myself, I got to establish myself, I got to work, I got to do this, I got to do that. All that stuff may not be bad in and of itself, but we are living for the kingdom of me. And as we live for the kingdom of me and try to provide for me, that's perfect soil for anxiety to flourish. Jesus says, live for my kingdom. Trust in me and look to me, and everything else will be added to you. Therefore, in verse 34, he says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, loved ones, let's live just one day at a time. Each day for the glory of God and the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Don't let the worries of this life, the cares of this life, take your attention off of the only thing that matters. It's the kingdom of God. Don't let the cares of this world grab your eyes and put them on the cares of this world. You got to look up. You got to look up. You got to live one day at a time is what Jesus is saying. Trusting him completely for what's ahead of us tomorrow. Now, for many of us, that's a very hard thing to do. But this is where it starts. Who is my master? What is my perspective? And who will I choose to fix my gaze on as a matter of the priority of my life? I'm going to close with this on the screen for you. Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary to China, said this. He said, let us give up work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then we will have given all over to him. There will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hands. And then, when we have given all over to him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Today in this room, I'm wondering if there are many people who have simply not given up everything to the Lord, to trust in him. Today's a day to say, Lord, I take this burden, I take this anxiety, I take this fear, I take my family, I take everything that matters to me, and I give it to you, Lord. Today's a day to do that. And what Hudson Taylor is saying is once you find that you have made it your practice to give all to him, there will be nothing left to worry about because guess what? He will take care of it all. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. The worship team's going to come. I want you to consider your life right now. Consider your life. So many people are so worried and burdened in this room today. Don't go anywhere. Don't move around. Just stay where you are. You're almost done here. But I want everyone in this place, wouldn't it be awesome if everyone in this place surrendered something to the Lord that they're worried about? Now, some of you are hesitating right now because it's been so many years that you've had this burden, this concern. You haven't seen any evidence necessarily to your eyes that God is working, and you're tired. Today is a moment to offer everything to him. Take that burden off the shelf of your heart and give it to him right now. If it's financial burdens, or if it's a marriage that's been going awry, if it's your work situation or financial uncertainty at work or uncertainty in your job, if it's a relational struggle of some kind, whatever it is that you're worried about, Jesus does not want you to be worried. So give it to him. You say, how do I give it to him? You just pray. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I surrender these worries to you now. Lord, I want to feel, I want to experience you lifting these burdens off of me right now. Lord, it needs to be a supernatural work in my heart that I'm given the perspective to know that if you're feeding the birds and clothing the grass, of course you're taking care of me. Help me to believe that. Some of you need to pray that. Help me to believe it because you don't believe it today. Help me to believe it, Lord. And to cast all my anxieties on you because you care for me, the Bible says. I'm going to give you a couple seconds right now. Every anxiety in this place, it needs to go to God right now. Every burden, every worry needs to go to God right now. Don't think about Mother's Day lunch. Don't think about what's happening after the service right now. Every anxiety, every burden going to him. Lord, give me faith to believe that you'll care for me like you care for the birds. Give me unshakable faith, I pray. Pray these things. Ask the Lord these things. Lord, I'm so debilitated by anxious thoughts. Lord, lift them from me as I fix my gaze on you. Help me, Lord. Say, help me, Lord. Some of you, you're struggling right now. You just say, help me, Lord. Help me know the sweetness of what it means to trust you. Help me to know the peace of what it means to trust you. Help me to know the joy of what it means to trust you. And if you are in the midst of a crushing circumstance right now, God wants to give you such sweet relief and peace. So Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, oh God. Lift the burdens right now, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just for today, but for every day. We serve you and you alone as our master. We put our gaze upon you and have the right perspective. You are awesome. You are capable. You are trustworthy. And we set as the priority of our lives the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do an awesome work in us. As we do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.